All right, we're going to go to Matthew 28, 18 and 20. Also Mark 16, 15 to 20.
Am I there, Travis? Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Today is going to be a different message than what you're used to from me. But the Lord has been speaking to me Monday night and Tuesday night. I had some dreams, very vivid dreams, that show me what he wants to do. But sometimes it's hard for me to evaluate it. But as the Lord continued throughout the week to press into me and lead me into where he wants to go today, he verified it Wednesday night. So just in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And then in Mark 16, 15 to 20, he says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.'" If you looked at the sign today when you rolled into the church building, it says the full gospel. And what does that mean when it says the full gospel? When you say full, it means that the fullness of, right? It means everything. We as a church, really, churches nationwide, worldwide, I wouldn't say worldwide. I would say over in Africa and some of those countries over there where they're used to the spirit realm and deal with this type of things going on all the time, that they are aware of the spirit realm more so than the Western church. And so we as a church have not really neglected it because we use it, but we keep it silent. We keep the deliverance ministry silent. Today's message is titled, "Do you have mouse or mice in your house?" Do you have mice in your house? So what brought this about is we went to a movie. Actually, it's a documentary of Come Out in Jesus' Name. I don't know if anybody got to go see that. And so this is what's coming into the church. God is raising up into the church right now. But I wanted to get out in the forefront and make sure that you're not afraid of what God is getting ready to do. Because, see, we haven't walked out in the full gospel of God. We haven't walked out in the full gospel because we've neglected part of Jesus' ministry to a point that even today, prophetically, even today, when we sung that song, dance. In your heart, you wanted to dance, but maybe not. Maybe you just felt like, oh, this is crazy stuff, right? Or you felt like, man, I want to dance, but I feel like my feet are bound. They're in concrete, and man, I can't dance before the Lord because it wouldn't be right. You're not supposed to dance in the church. You're not supposed to cause any disruption in the church. But nowhere do I see that. I don't know if I've ever read that in the Bible where it says not to be joyful. The gospel is joyful. And so through watching the documentary and I've been watching some things and paying close attention to it since September, and we've been kind of talking about the deliverance ministry, kind of talking about the demonic realm here and there, just so you guys are aware that it is very present. It's very present around this area. It's very present around church people. Wednesday night, at our prayer meeting, he pointed out Revelation 3:8. I'm going to turn there. I'm going to read a little bit further. I'm going to read just right before that, Becky. Well, I think that's where I'm going. Well, I'm in Romans. How am I getting Romans? R's. That's why I didn't look right. Ain't that something? That's where Sonny had us today. I'm just going to start at the very beginning. They said, "And to the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, who has seven spirits and the seven stars. I know your works, and you have the name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, and you have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Who has an ear, let him hear that the Spirit says to the churches." And this is the verse I want to go to, 7-8, and it says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saying, He who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works," in verse 8, "see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You have kept my word. You have not denied my name." And when he said that to me in verse 8, now I opened up with the very beginning, and it talks about the Sardis church, and they were dead. There's a lot of dead churches around, but this one's alive. This is the church in verse 7. It says, "And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things. He who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Then he said this, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it." When I started off in the ministry, when I went to higher ground, and the Lord took me there. It wasn't by my choosing, but it was by leading of the Holy Spirit that he took me there. I told him, that the Lord, that any door he would open, I'll walk through it. And you've heard this from me before, but this door that we're getting ready to walk through that he showed me Wednesday night from the dreams Monday and Tuesday. I mean, I went to sleep and had a dream and woke up, and I was like, contemplating, I went back to sleep and had the same dream, but in more depth. And then I go back to sleep, wake up, and go back to sleep and have the dream again. Tuesday night, it does it again. And so I'm up all through the night. And then Wednesday, he says, "I have opened a door for you." Now that means he has opened a door for me, but that means he's opened a door for the church. Because wherever door I walk through, you're going to walk through it also. And so this is, when I looked at the door, and then he showed me the scripture, and then he showed me a vision of the door. And this is what the door looked like Wednesday night. I could see the door wide open. But when I looked at the door, it was black. The opening of the door was black. And what he was saying is, you have to trust me. You don't know what's on the other side of the door. You don't know what you're getting ready to walk into. You have a thought of, but I'm going to want you to trust me to walk through the door. Walk through the darkness and you will see the light. Jesus was talking to the faithful church in Revelation 3, 7 through 13. So let's just talk about the elephant in the room. Can you be demonized? You're a church. You're a believer. You're a believer in Christ. Can you be demonized? All over, I hear yes and no. So you're saying that people that go to church to have the Holy Spirit in them can have demons in them. Is that possible? Is that possible? In the gospel, Jesus cast out demons. Do you read that in the gospel? Do we read that the disciples went out by twos? Unlearned disciples, should I say. Unlearned. They did not have a clue of what they were doing, honestly. They didn't know anything. They watched Jesus do a couple things. Then he sends them out into the community of Israel. Only go to the house of Israel. He didn't say go to anywhere else, but go to the house of Israel for his people. And when they come back, they do what? They're so excited, and it's like, Jesus, did you know? Even the demons flee from us at your word. At your name, they even flee. And so why don't we as churches talk about Jesus' full ministry? We do not walk out the fullness of the gospel, and it's hurting the church. Because there are so many people, like today, the prophetic song today, dance, want to dance, but are tied down by all the bondage that's in them. You are not free. If you deal with things in your life, you are not free. Now, you have choices to make, and you have the flesh has a part to play in it, but you are not free if you're worried about everybody else. If you're worried about things in your life, you are not free. Some people are afraid that when you cast out a demon, because the Bible tells us that they will go and find a place and dwell in it. Because a demon has no body. They are a spirit, and they want to find a home, right? They want to find a home. It's just like a mouse. In the wintertime, a mouse wants to do what? Come in. How does he get in? Through open holes, right? He can't come in if it's sealed up, but he comes in through open holes. Today, churches and pastors are afraid of this conversation. They're afraid, and they steer away from the true gospel because it's conflicting. People are afraid that if we cast out demons, that they're going to flow into someone else. They can, and they will. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You have him. You're bought with a price, okay? You're bought with the blood of Jesus, all right? You have the Holy Spirit in you. There is absolutely nothing, absolutely no demonic spirit. Satan himself cannot come in and dwell where the Holy Spirit dwells. You got me? If you have the Holy Spirit, you will never be possessed by a demon or demonic spirit. Got me? Possessed. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you will never be possessed. But you can be oppressed. All right? And we're going to get there. So let's just go to Mark 1, 23 and 28. See if it's on the screen. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the regions of Galilee. So here we see a guy that's in the synagogue. In the synagogue, right? So he's a Jewish individual that understands the scrolls. He understands the word of God. But when he walks in, and when Jesus walks in, the demon in him recognized Jesus. Okay? So he was in the fold. He was in the church, knowing the word and listening to the word, but there was an unclean spirit in him. Mark 1:39. It says, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. This is what Jesus was doing in their synagogues. Matthew 15:21-28. It says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This he's saying, I was only sent. I was only sent to cast out demons out of the people in Israel. That's what he's saying right there, okay? Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So, Jesus came, and he was casting out the demons out of the people in the tribe of Israel, right? It was for his people. It's for you. To say that you cannot be oppressed is to wrongly divide the word. There's about 12 instances in the word where they say demon-possessed does not really translate to what that really says. They mistranslated it. It actually means demonized. Demonized. Okay? So it was wrongly translated. So when we look at it, it's like demon possession. It's like, oh, well, we can be possessed. Well, no, you can't be possessed. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit within you and you want to live an indulgent life and whatever, I believe that enemy, demonic spirit can come and invade you, and then you will see true possession. Okay? This is where true possession comes from. This is where you see the exorcists and stuff like that. But here's the thing. Christians can have demons or be demonized, should I say. So, in September, this is all starting to play out. It's been going on for a few years now that other people have been casting out demons out of people, having deliverance conferences and stuff like that. So the church is afraid. But we need to grab a hold of what God is saying to the church, because he wants the church to be free. He wants total freedom in the church. He wants total freedom in your life. There's so many people and so many believers in the church are dealing with so many things. You know, pornography is one of the big things in the church. Actually, it's in the world. Pornography is all over the world. Men and women. Young kids, since our young kids have phones now, I don't know when you guys give your kids phones, but when they get phones, could be 10, 11, 12 years old, you are giving them everything, access to everything. And all it takes is one of their friends to say, hey, you know, go check this site out. And all of a sudden, they begin to get hooked. Now, their dad could be a pastor in a church, and he's also hooked. He's preaching from the pulpit, demonized. God is still moving through him. God is still working through him. I don't know how long he'll do that, but God will still be moving through him. So we have the thought is that God won't use people that's messed up. And God still does. Now, I'm going to be truthful, you guys. I went through a self-deliverance way back in end of September, first of October, sitting at my kitchen table. Went through a self-deliverance. Not really think I'm dealing with anything in my life, all right? Really not really, there's really nothing pressing. I'm not into porn. I'm not into doing anything. It's like, okay, what's in me? So I go through this self-deliverance. This is in the morning. Every morning I get up at 4:45, 5 o'clock, I'm reading the Word, and I'm going through this self-deliverance. And all of a sudden, come out in Jesus' name, I felt something leave. Now you might say, well, you didn't feel it leave. Yeah, I felt it leave. What I know is I was changed instantly. Whatever was bothering me changed in me. So I've been preaching from this pulpit since 2017 in July. Free, I thought I was free from a lot of stuff. But the enemy still had some things in my flesh. Now, it doesn't say I don't have to go through self-deliverance again or go through deliverance again. When Jason came in a couple weeks ago, not even a third of the church here that missed out. Tabby got delivered with so many other people got delivered. Carla got delivered. Luke got delivered. There was so much other stuff going on. I can't even explain all the stuff that was going on. But it opened my eyes up. When I did it to myself, just by the power of God's word, I didn't have anything, nothing going on in that room. I was just sitting before the Lord, renouncing some things, and all of a sudden, in Jesus' name, be gone. A Christian. Serving the Lord, hearing the Lord's voice, seeing into the angelic realm, still demonized. Was I totally free? We all use the name of Jesus, right? Do you guys use the name of Jesus? For what? Praying over your food, praying for someone else, praising. Casting out demons in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus for the sick, right? Healing. So we use the name of Jesus, and we know the name of Jesus will cast out demons. They cannot stand against the name of Jesus. You know, there's over 200 plus verses of Jesus casting out demons in the Gospels. 200 plus verses of Jesus casting out demons just in the Gospels alone. So I want to ease your fears this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus and full of the Holy Spirit, the demonic realm does not have any right to come into you. Okay? He does not have any right to possess you. I'm not saying he don't have a right to demonize you. Okay? And we talked about that demonization. It's not in here, but it's in your flesh. It's in your flesh. If you're a child of God, you've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus paid for you. When you were born, you were not of God. The Bible says you were in sin. You were a sinner. You're born into sin, right? That's what the Bible says. You're born into sin. And you have to make a choice in your life. You have to make a choice to accept the price that was paid. You have to accept Him as your Savior. You have to accept Him in your heart. Holy Spirit, somebody pray over you. Holy Spirit, come and dwell within my heart. Jesus, come and dwell within my heart. Then He comes and makes an abode with you. He makes an abode and lives within you. In 1 Corinthians 6:15-20, it says, Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? So I believe Paul was talking to a church, the Corinthian church, that people were in the church messing around with harlots. Honestly, that's what I believe was going on. He wouldn't even said it if it wasn't what was going on. He just called the kettle black, right? He said, certainly not, don't do that. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sin against his own body. Or do you not know that, your body is the temple. That's where I was going. You not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For we are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? So how many believe here that you cannot that you can have a demon even if you're a Christian? Okay, you're still wavering on some stuff, right? So you have the Holy Spirit in you. Does your body still get sick? Why? That's not right. Holy Spirit shouldn't allow your body to get sick. Okay? You have the Holy Spirit in you. Have you ever sinned while the Holy Spirit is living in you? No, that's not right. You got the Holy Spirit. You can't sin. Holy Spirit won't let you. Is that true or not? It's not true. Free will, free choice. Right. Just because you have the Holy Spirit in you doesn't mean you don't get to make choices. What choices are you going to make? Paul tells us not to give place to the devil. Why does Paul tell us not to give place to the devil? Because you have a free will. But he says don't give place to the devil. Why? That means you can make a choice to give place to the devil. He says don't do it. I'm begging you, don't give place to the devil, because the devil will come in slowly. It's like we talked about last week. That chain, that first decision that you make, it's the first time that you smoked marijuana. It's the first time that you've done meth. All of a sudden, the next time come along and change you down. Then the next time came along, you put another link to the chain. Then you put another link to the chain. Before long, after a course of a year or so, you're dragging around this heavy chain that's just drug you down because of all the choices you made. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You've been to church. You've been listening to all the church stuff. You know the Word of God. You can quote the Word, but you're dragging this chain around. So many people in the church are dealing with addiction today. But they have the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit is in them. But by the choices that they made, they gave place to the devil. So if you give place to the devil, what happens? He comes in. If Carl comes to my house, and it's like, man, I don't want Carl to come in. I keep the door shut. But if I know Carl's coming in, he's coming to my house, and I know he's bringing something good, I can open the door for that. So I keep the door open for good things of God, but of the enemy, I keep the door shut. If you don't want somebody to come into your house, you keep the door shut. That means you don't flip open your phone and look at porn. You don't flip open your phone and gamble. You don't flip open your phone and do all kinds of different things. You don't put your eyes on things that you don't want to come into your spirit. See, your eyes are the windows to your soul. The mouth is like the front door. He comes in. Christians have demons, can have demons if they choose to yield their bodies as an instrument of wickedness, sin, and immorality. Here's what oppress means, since you cannot be possessed. Oppress means to exercise power over, to exercise harsh control over one, and to use one's power against one. That's oppressed. How many people walk around with anxiety? That's an oppression. Now, how did that come in? I don't know. Did you do something? Did your parents do something? Did your grandma and great-grandma or them do something? Were they into witchcraft? Where were they at? What was the lineage that you had before you were born? There could be generation after generation after generation. The Bible tells us 10 generations out that you could be cursed from the past. And you're dealing with stuff in your life and you have no idea why you're dealing with this stuff. And it's like, because now we're getting into, what is it, 21, what is it called? Generational curses, but you can go back and get your generations, genealogies, and you can go back out and find out who your ancestors were. You might not know who they were. You maybe didn't know they were witches. Maybe you didn't know when they came across on the boat that they were dealing in witchcraft and sorcery and all this stuff. And now they placed a curse on the family. And you see alcohol after alcohol after alcohol after alcoholism. Drug addiction after drug addiction after drug addiction. Somebody has to break the chain. But see, as long as you allow the open door, it wasn't even your fault. The church is not talking about this stuff. They say, oh, you can break the chain. We'll just pray for you harder. We'll pray for you harder. I've been praying for people all along, and I'm still seeing people still addicted to things. We had a guy in this church for years, oppressed by some things. I prayed for him. Sonny's prayed for him. A lot of other people's prayed for him. He would get set free for a very short time. Very short time. And then he would go right back. Why? We prayed for him. We prayed the Holy Spirit on him. We never got rid of the spirit that was in him. That's why. Because we didn't recognize that there was a spirit causing the affliction. We didn't recognize there was a spirit causing him to be oppressed. I just can't get over it, Lance. I can't get over it. I don't know what it is. I cannot get over it. We pray again. Do this. Just do this. And so I wasn't walking out in the fullness of the gospel that Jesus intended. His full ministry is what we're supposed to walk out. His full ministry is what we're supposed to do. Help the widows. Take care of the widows. Love the people of God. Love everyone. Even the XYG community. Love them. Even though they don't know. Because actually, in reality, it's a spirit of identity in them that the enemy has came in and took their identity. They don't know who they are because a spirit has came into them and changed their thinking. And we as a church have failed and missed it all. But now God is trying to bring the church back and reconcile the church back to a freedom in the body of Christ. There has to be a freedom in the body of Christ. He does not want a church oppressed. Because I'll tell you what, that song is just so prophetic today. But when you go before, I believe in the rapture, okay? That's what I believe. Some of you might differ, but it doesn't matter. It'll all work itself out in the end. But when I stand before God, am I going to be on my knees? Am I going to be dancing before him? What am I going to do? There is going to be total freedom in me. I don't want to be, oh, God, man, I've all this stuff in my flesh I've been doing. But here's the thing. You are a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, there's some sins that's going to keep you out of heaven. But I believe there's people in heaven today that never went through deliverance and are there. Okay? Okay? They had some stuff in their flesh. They was oppressed. But they kept their focus. They kept their focus on God. All right? So I don't want you to think that deliverance is the all thing that needs to happen. Okay? It's not this so central focused deal. I don't want to be one just like, this is all we're going to do. This is it. This is it. No. We're going to do the full gospel. That means we're going to love people. We're going to help the widows out. We're going to, when we see and recognize the Holy Spirit, tell us, hey, that's a demonic impression. Let's take care of that. And the thing is most people have lived with this oppression all their life. This is their identity. This is what they relate to. Now, if you take away the identity that they thought they were, who are they then? That's fearful for people. Some people like who's in them and around them. If you open the door, they will come in. Plain and simple. You might do it once. You might do something once, have a bad decision, might not come in. But you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and eventually that oppression will come in and just it will just overtake you. Not here, but in the flesh. They cannot occupy the place of the Holy Spirit, but only the flesh. That's why you have sickness. Not all sickness is a demonic realm, but that's why you have sickness. That's why you have infirmities. Okay? We miss it. We miss it. In Acts 5, 2 through 4, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" Why I bring that scripture up is because Pentecost had happened. The gospel was going rampant throughout Jerusalem and areas. And the Holy Spirit was being delivered, was being poured out on people. Ananias and Sapphira was into that. They were being poured out onto the Holy Spirit. They got caught up. Some guy, rich guy, sold all his stuff and he gave it at the apostles' feet. And he gave everything. And so they're like, "Oh, we're going to be like that. We're going to be like that." Satan entered into him for the thought, see? Filled their hearts, what the Bible says. And then they said, "Oh, well, you know what? Let's just take some back for ourselves. And we'll act like we give all." And that day, they both were carried out. They had passed away. Because Satan had filled their heart. See, Satan doesn't care if you get if you have the Holy Spirit in you. He doesn't care. Because what he can do is he can afflict your soul. He can afflict your flesh. He can, those little small chains will eventually become a log chain. And you'll be carrying that around all your life because his job is to kill, steal, and destroy your life. So you cannot walk out in the fullness of the God, the fullness function of the Christian life. So you can be distraught even sitting in church. You can be distraught. You can't be a witness to the world because you're so suppressed and you're so demonic because you've got the Holy Spirit. You've been reading the Word, but you have no energy to go out and preach the gospel. How many have anger issues here? You don't have to admit it. Okay. You ever see that not go away? You've had it all your life. You've lived with it. How many have had addictions here? Lived with it all your life. People's prayed over you. People's prayed over you and over you and over you and prayed for you and for you and for you. And you still just seem to... You get freedom for 3 or 4 months, and all of a sudden, bam, that draw comes back, right? It wants to draw you back. Why? Because you haven't got rid of what's in the flesh. He's okay. The enemy's okay to sit idle. They love to hide. They love to be. They don't want to get found out because they like to be in your flesh. They need a place to dwell. They got eternity, see? They got forever until Jesus comes back. And then it's all going to be taken away. How many believe the Holy Spirit's in this house right now? Amen. Okay? From the very beginning, Sonny saw the angels walk in as they fired up this morning. There was a freedom in the house today. Freedom in the house today. How many think there's mice in the church today? Full of the Holy Spirit right here in this house. Full of the Holy Spirit. And there's things you can't see. There's things you don't know. Dwelling in this house today. How many have mice in your own house? Prayed over it? Anointed the doorpost? Right? Casting that thing all the way out. You pray over the bedroom? Get out of here. Shut the door. Pray over the bathroom? Get out of here. Shut the door. Put oil over it. You walk them all the way out to the front door and you say, in Jesus' name, you have no right in my house. Right? You still have mice in your house. You still have mice in your house. Because you didn't find the door that was open. You didn't find the crack that was open to let them in. You didn't seal up the crack that let the mouse in. And so what happens? The mouse is going to stay hidden. How many see mice? You see the aftermath of the mice, right? But you don't see the mice. Very seldom will you see a mice run across the floor unless your house is totally infested, right? That's when you know there's more than multiple demons in your life, when you got so many other issues going on and they manifest all the time. That's when you know that your life has been turned upside down because of the doors that you had open. If there's any open door, any open crack, I'm just talking, and we've talked about this before. You take the door because there's something in your flesh that wants to do something or whatever it is, and you just turn the door handle and just barely open the door. Just to test. That enemy can walk into your life that quick. And then all of a sudden, you shut the door. You have no thoughts or nothing going on after that. And then all of a sudden, 2 months later, you have this thought again. Then you have another thought. And you have another thought, another thought, another thought. That enemy got in. And he's going to try to destroy you. And he's going to try to change and alter your life. And what he does, if you're married, he'll tear it apart. He'll start to destroy the marriage because he does not like to see the God formation of man and woman being joined together in unity, because that represents God, Jesus, and his church. He does not want to see that. He doesn't want to see the representation of Jesus and his bride. So he'll destroy your family. And he's got all day. See, the eyes are your open doors. Your thoughts are your open doors. Here's one of the big keys right here. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is probably one of the biggest doors that the enemy comes in. Unforgiveness, that he will walk in and you don't even know it. You need to forgive any and everyone. Don't let him in. Like I said, demons are not the cause of everything. Okay, I'm just going to be plain blunt. They don't cause everything in your life to go wrong. But they can. You still have your own flesh, and you still have your own decisions to make. Now, when you open the door to them, they will come in. Here's 11 open doors. Inherited or generational. Bloodline, occult, or witchcraft. So it's inherited. You've done absolutely nothing wrong in your life, except your life is a mess. That's an inherited or generational curse. Unwanted pregnancy is one of the big open doors. When you're in, when a child is in the womb, and they feel the rejection, the mother or dad or whatever rejects the child, you give place to the enemy to come in and possess that child. Or actually, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit in him, see, so he can come and possess the child. Unwanted pregnancy will allow open doors in people's lives. And you didn't even cause it. Maybe you were here and you were not a planned pregnancy, and maybe didn't want you. Oh, not you didn't open the door, but someone else opened it for you. Growing up in a broken home, anger and hatred. You'll have anger and hatred. That's one of the demonic spirits that come in. Anger and hatred in a broken home. Occult, astrology, tarot cards, palm readings. If you're doing any of those things, you better stop and repent of that right now in Jesus' name. Because that will allow the enemy to come in. I used to have a girlfriend way before Tabitha. So it was in high school, and they would want to go. They said, oh, come with us, do this. Mom don't even know this. Come with us, and we will do this tarot reading. They read these cards, and we'll see if we're compatible. I said, I'm not going to that thing. I'm not going to no tarot. I mean, I knew enough not to go, and I didn't go, but they did go. I don't know. I didn't even ask them what the results was because I didn't care. But that would allow the enemy. I think about that. The enemy is trying to capture my life from the very beginning. From the very beginning as a child, he's tried to capture my life. He's tried to make me make bad decisions. But there's one right there that I made a good decision. False religion. Embracing other religions or being open to it. Being demonic objects, having demonic objects in your life or in your house. Statues that don't portray what they should portray. Having those things in your house, it's time to take them out and burn them. Get rid of them. Break them. Get rid of them. You don't need those open doors in your life. Abuse or trauma. Sexual abuse or trauma. Somebody that has been raped or somebody that has had trauma in their life, beatings or whatever it is. Maybe a parent whipped on you, beat on you hard, an abusive style, not just whipping, but an abusive style can be trauma in your life. Any trauma in your life can allow that demonic spirit to come in. Illicit sexual encounters. So I think about the encounters that I had when I was younger. They weren't right. We've all been there, okay? We've all been there. Allows the enemy to step in. Abortion will allow the enemy to come in because it comes with your hurt and pain. Entertainment, what you watch on TV, what you have for entertainment will allow the enemy to come in. You watch The Exorcist, you watch some of these Friday the 13th, and you allow those Halloween-style movies and stuff like that to infiltrate your spirit. You allow the enemy to come in. You give place to the devil. Number 11, a moment of weakness. The devil wants us to snap in a moment of weakness. It is the open doors in our lives to give them access to our flesh. They can never take over the place of the Holy Spirit, but they can live in your flesh. So this morning, I'm done preaching this morning. But if I don't offer freedom this morning, then I'm wrong. So I'm going to offer freedom this morning. So we're gonna just talk just a minute. So here's what I'm going to tell you. And I got to know for truth. And you have to know, okay? Is Jesus Lord of your life? If Jesus is not Lord of your life, you need to raise your hand right now, honestly. You guys, girls, ladies, children, if Jesus is not Lord of your life right now, you need to let us know. Everybody is a believer in here. You a believer? I thought you was. I thought I seen you raise your hand. I said, Grandma and Grandpa already taken care of that. But they can't take care of it for you. You have to know in your heart. Grandma and Grandpa can't pray and say, oh, yeah, you're saved. You got to know. Okay? You're just scratching your head, right? This is serious, guys. This is a serious deal. All right? Now, in the deliverance ministry, if you want to keep the demon, he will not come out. We can fight and fight, and Jesus can cast him out, but every time when you look at the scriptures, either they came to Jesus or they manifested when he walked in the room and he cast them out. Okay? If you want to get totally free today, today's the day. If you want to keep the demon in your spirit, you want to keep it and you like it, you guys can leave. Okay? I'm not going to hold you here. But if you want to go through deliverance, this is new to me. This is like the disciples going out and Jesus said, go out, two by two. But I'm going to tell you what, most people have mice in their house.